We're kicking off this new sermon series, Choosing Your Own Adventure. And in this life, our choices affect so much of our adventure, our daily lives, and our future. Now, for me, I like to camp. I enjoy it. We go camping as a family. We've had some great camping experience, and we've had some not so great camping experience. Gary Smalley says every family should go camping. Not for the joy of camping, but because while you're camping, you will go through a crisis. Someone will fall in the fire, you know. Someone will drop all the food on the ground. You have to eat it with dirt on it. And he said, in the midst of that, you have to solve it together, and it brings the family together, and you remember the trials and how you overcame them as a family. And I thought how true that is, you know. There's a lot of truth. Well, for myself, my first thought of a bad camping experience went back to my wife and I shortly after we got married. We flew back to Tennessee to get married. We were going to school in California. And after our honeymoon, we were driving back to California, and I had this great idea. I said, honey, let's save money and camp all the way back. Who said that all? Come on. That's a great idea. Great idea. So we packed the car. We got it squished with everything we could think of. Had to leave a couple things behind because, you know, newlyweds, we have all these new presents and everything. And so off we go to the first place. It was a KOA in St. Louis. Real easy. You know, it was just, you know, you check in. The weather was great. Had a great time. I'm thinking this is going good. Then we go to Kansas. Same thing again. Great. No problem. Had a good time. The next day, we go to Pikes Peak, Colorado. You ever been to Pikes Peak? Beautiful place, beautiful. It's like 16,000 feet elevation. You can drive to the top. We had a snowball fight up there. We laughed, and we just happened to stay a little bit longer than we thought. The day was great. The night, we drive a little farther, and she's like, where are we going to stop to camp? I was like, I don't know, but it's Colorado. They've got to have these places everywhere. So we drive about an hour and we're finding nothing. And finally we come upon this place. It's like it's a campground. We're like, yes. So we pull out. We notice it's not much warmer there than it was at Pikes Peak. And we start setting up the tent and getting everything ready. And she says to me, she says, well, get the sleeping bags out of the car. I said, I didn't pack the sleeping bags. She said, well, why not? I said, well, only so much stuff could fit, and you wanted the vacuum cleaner, right? And it wouldn't fit. And she said, well, how are we going to keep warm? And I had some ideas. She didn't like those. Matter of fact, for the next 4 days, it was cold. It dropped below freezing that night. It was misery. And let me just say, that was my worst camping experience we ever had. And I'm reminded of that every now and then. Whenever I suggest we go camping, it's like, we'll just say this. The next night we stayed in a hotel. Okay? I did learn my lesson. Well, I'm sure some of you have those decisions, those choices you made that affected your adventure. Did you choose to pack the sleeping bag? Those are small things, right? Versus, did you choose to stay faithful to your calling that God's given you? Did you choose to honor and respect your parents? Did you choose to walk in faith versus fear? Did you choose to heal the relationship, or did you choose to break the relationship? All those decisions, they all play into our lives, and they play into our future and our children's future and our grandchildren's. Our choices we make on an everyday basis affect everything. So Paul, in the letter we're at now, if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Philippians. That's what Cheryl just read. That's where we're going to be. If you got your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're doing verse 1 through 7 today. Page 985 of the Burgundy Bible, if you don't have your own. And in this passage, Paul's writing a letter to his friends in the city of Philippi. And he's trying to encourage them. They're going through some persecution from the, the government and from those around them, and they're having a little bit of conflict within the church, and so they're walking through that conflict, and so Paul's writing this letter of instruction and encouragement. And we'll pick up there in verse 1, and here's what he says in Philippians 4. He says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I so want this message to make sense. I so want us to realize just how important the choices that we make every day are. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through me. I pray, God, that your word would penetrate our hearts, and whatever part of this message we need to apply today, that we'll apply it. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got your listening guide out, it's in your bulletin. If you came through the door, they gave you a little program or a bulletin there. You can open that up. We put the notes in from the message just so you can follow along. And by the way, if this is your first, second, third, or fourth week, I'm Steve Taboo. Let me introduce myself. I haven't been here the last 3 weeks. I've been here but not been preaching. One of the things we do, especially in the summer months, is we do team preaching, and so we've had other pastors preaching. So verse 1, point number 1 is this. In tough times, you can choose fear or faith. In tough times, you can choose fear or you can choose faith. It's up to you what you choose. As he's writing to the people in Philippi, he says, stay true to the Lord. The King James says, stand fast in the Lord. And the ESV says, stand firm in the Lord. All of those are the same idea. It's the idea that as you're going through these trials, don't let anything move you. Hold your ground. Stick to your faith. Walk in this world in faith and not fear. Now, in this world, there's going to be a lot of things, a lot of opposition come against you. There'll be a lot of people that will oppose you. And are you going to walk in fear? Are you going to walk in faith? Well, the people there understood that. They understood it because they had been through persecution, and they knew what it was to have other people put pressure on them to walk away from their faith. And I would say in your life, you'll have pressure. You'll have pressure on the workplace. You'll have pressure in your family. You'll have pressure in your own decision, in your own mind, whether you want to stand firm in the faith or whether you want to walk in fear. I was talking to somebody right after the service, first service, and they were talking about how their company's downsizing and how they've been told that in the next 12 months, half of those in the management will lose their job. And for the other, it's going to be like Shark Tank fighting for the last 8 positions. And he was sharing this with me. He said, but you know what? God's always taken care of me, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to walk in faith. And we deal with those kind of questions day in and day out, don't we? Whether it be in the job, whether it be in friendships, whether it be in paying our bills, whether it be in running our families. Are we going to walk in fear? Are we going to walk in faith? Now, if you watch the news today, what do they want you to walk in? They want you to walk in fear, don't they? It's like you turn on, it doesn't matter what channel it is. It's all about fear and problems. And whether you watch the liberal side of the media that wants you to be afraid of Trump and what he's doing, or whether you watch the conservative side of media that wants you to fear the Democrats and what they're doing, it's like they just want to pump all this fear into us. And sometimes I can be guilty of getting sucked into that. And yet when I walk in faith and people talk about politics, I go, you know what? I know things aren't the best, but I still think we live in the best country in the world. We've still got freedom. We've still got the ability to provide for our families. I think this is a great day, and I think we've got great days ahead of us. Whether our country rises or falls, the kingdom of God will stand forever. And if we focus on the fear, then we can get all depressed. Well, tell you what, the economy just went down 2 points, and the NASDAQ just dropped 20, and this... Or we can walk in faith and go, you know what? God is our provider. Not even the company I work for, but the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe is the one that calls the shots. And I'm going to lean on him. And so are you going to walk in fear or are you going to walk in faith? I just read a editorial this week. No, it was like, maybe it was last week, and I didn't even know it existed, but it does. And there's a billboard in town that talks about how immigrants came to America and blew up buildings and killed thousands of people, and we need to keep immigrants out. And I'm just going to tell you, last time I checked, my Savior and King was a refugee. And my Savior and King told us to love one another and love my enemies as well as my neighbor. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to have protections keeping terrorists out, all for that. But we don't need to go putting hate messages all over our town to push fear. If anything, we need to push faith. If we're going to put a message on the billboard, it needs to say, hey, pray for those that are far from Jesus. Love those that are far from Jesus. My wife and I are blessed to live near Tech, and so we had a lot of international students that come in and out of our home, and we enjoy that privilege. And we had two Saudi students that we basically brought into our family and loved on. They came to all our birthday parties for our kids. We went to their birthday parties. And my point is if there's somebody that you're concerned about, if you love them to death, well, it's going to be their choice but to love you back. So we can walk through this world in fear, or we can walk through this world in faith. I want to choose faith. Had a guy 2 weeks ago in our church, and I knew his situation. He was, it was looking like he was going to lose his job. And so I knew that he had some challenges going on. And I saw him Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, and he had this other guy with him, and he introduced him to me. He said, hey, I want to introduce you to Michael. I was like, great. And we started talking, and as we talked, I said, well, how did you guys meet? And the guy says, well, he picked me up on the side of the road to give me a ride. I said, that's great. He said, yeah, I'm homeless right now. And this guy picked me up and said, do you want to go to church? And I said, sure. And then this other young man that had brought him to church took him out to lunch, got him a ride to rescue mission, and ministered and loved on him, even though I knew that he was also going through a tough time in his life himself. Fear or faith? How are we going to operate? If we operate in fear, then we're going to just continue to carry on the nonsense of the world of doubt and paranoia. But if we operate in faith, we can be the light that Jesus talks about that shines so bright that all those around us see it and glorify our Father in heaven. Doesn't mean it's easy. I'm sure the Philippians had it a lot harder than we did to share faith. But they were letting their light shine. Well, the second thing that I see in verses 2 through 5, is that in your relationships, you can choose to get better or bitter. You can choose to get better or bitter. In verses 2 through 5, we see that there's a fight going on in the church between two ladies. It doesn't say the word fight. I think it says disagreement, which probably means a fight, right? Okay? So let's look at verse 2. He says, now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women. For they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So these weren't just two ladies that went to church every now and then. They weren't just casual believers in Christ. They had worked alongside Paul, and they were workers for Jesus. They were in the same church. They had worked alongside sharing the gospel with Paul and with Clement. But somehow they got sideways with each other. Somehow they got into a disagreement. And apparently it was affecting the whole church, because word got all the way back to Paul in another city, and he's writing trying to use his influence to push them towards reconciliation. Now, have you ever had anybody that you were in a disagreement with? Anyone? I'm pretty sure we'd all raise our hand, right? Right? And you ever been in a disagreement with somebody that you love? Anybody? Okay. I always say that, family means you're going to disagree, but you're going to still be around each other, right? There's nobody in this room that I would agree with 100% on everything. I know it may be hard to believe, but even my wife and I disagree from time to time. Just saying. I remember that camping trip very favorably that week. So these two ladies are in this disagreement, and Paul is saying, deal with it. Work through it. Figure out a solution. Now, it's not in there, but you can jot down Matthew. Matthew 18:15-20. That's really a great passage when it comes to how do you deal with disagreements. When you're at odds with somebody else, how do you deal with it? And the directions he gives is, first of all, it's one-on-one. So if I'm at odds with somebody back here and we can't agree, I'm first supposed to go to them and say, hey, can we work this out? I feel like you cheated me on this deal, and I don't think you're honest and truthful. Can we work this out? The first step is going one-on-one. And then if that doesn't work out, you go two-on-one. You take a mediator, somebody who's a friend of both, and you go and you say, hey, we haven't found resolutions. We both love God. We're friends, but we are just not friends right now, and I want to change that. What can we do? Now then, if that doesn't work out and they're in the church and they won't repent, let's say that they've gossiped about you and you've heard other people say, well, you know what they're saying about you, don't you? Well, then you go to them one-on-one. First of all, say, hey, I heard, I'm just checking, maybe this wasn't accurate. And they may say, you know what? Yeah, I got mad. I was mad at you the other day. I should have kept my lips closed, but I ran my mouth and I did say some things. I apologize. Okay, we're good. But what if they say, you know what, I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to say what I want to say when I want to say it. Because it's true. You are a low-down, good-for-nothing snake. Well, I don't know. That could be a broken relationship there. You know what I'm saying? So what do? At that point, you bring a friend and you go, hey, if I've made some mistakes, tell me what they are, because I want reconciliation. And if they're still not willing to do it and they're in the church, then you actually go to the elders of the church. And the elders are to meet with them and to try to find reconciliation. Why is that? Because broken relationships bring bitterness and anger, and they destroy the church. They destroy the love that God intends. I want everybody in here to be able to walk through life, and when you see each other, want to genuinely give each other a handshake or a hug. I don't know about that brotherly kiss thing. I know it's in there, but I think it's okay for a handshake or a hug. You know what I'm saying? I think we should all genuinely love one another, and if there's issues we have, we talk through them. Doesn't mean we'll agree, and doesn't mean we're going to go out the next day and play basketball together, but it means we can love each other genuinely when we see each other, and that's what he's asking them to do. Can you work through this? Now, I had a pastor friend of mine who said, if you've never had trouble forgiving someone, you've never been hurt deeply. Think about that for a minute. If you've never had trouble forgiving someone, you've never been hurt deeply. And when I thought of that, someone's face came to my mind. You ever had that? It's like somebody's face just pops in your mind when you're thinking of someone who's hurt you so bad that you don't know if you could ever forgive them. And there was a time in my life, I was a youth, new Christian, and one of my youth leaders, I was told, spread a rumor about me. And so I had read Matthew 18. I was like, I guess I'm supposed to go to them. So I went to them and asked them about it. And they actually were very receptive. They're like, you know, I'm glad you came. That's a misunderstanding. What I said was this. Somebody must have misunderstood and thought it was this. And I didn't really say that about you. I just said, wouldn't it be funny if that actually happened? And because that's the last person we'd ever think it would happen to. And so they actually apologized. So I was like, oh, good. We've got a reconciled relationship. Well, a couple days later, they called someone who had authority over me, who called me in their office and said that I was rude and I was abrasive and that I came and verbally attacked them. And this person then came to me and they proceeded to bring discipline into my life. Well, for me, I was like totally broken. I thought I had done what God told me to do. I had gone to this person. I thought it was done, and now it's bigger than it ever was. And I was angry. I was mad. And I couldn't go to that person. I didn't know about, I mean, the church I was in, they didn't even have elders. So I didn't know what to do at that point. And so I pretty much just gave up. And I carried this bitterness. And I would bury it far enough down that I wouldn't think about it, you know, 9 days out of 10. But when I'd get into good prayer time with the Lord and I'd say, you know, Lord, forgive those that have sinned against me as I forgive those that sinned against me as you've forgiven me for my sins, the Lord would pop this picture of this person in my mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, what about this person? And I was like, oh, no, Lord, I tried that. I'm done. I tried forgiving. That did not go well. And the Lord say, well, what about this person? And I literally would just hang up with the phone with him at that moment. Amen. You know, and go back to doing something else. And this went on really for a couple of months. And the bitterness, do you know that bitterness grows? Bitterness is like a disease. You don't even have to feed it, and it just grows. And the problem gets bigger and bigger in your mind than it ever really was. And it got to the point that I was bitter. And I came across this passage, Matthew 5, 22. And here's what it says. This is Jesus. But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar of the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. It was like the Lord said, son, I've tapped you on the shoulder. Son, I've suggested reconciliation. Son, I've encouraged you to do the right thing. Now I'm bringing the 2x4. It's time to make a decision. And I prayed that night, asked God to forgive me, and I called that person. I found the phone number. I called that person, and I literally called him. I said, I just need to call and ask for your forgiveness. I said, I've carried this bitterness for a long time, and I don't want to do that anymore. And you know, God did a beautiful thing. That person actually apologized to me and said, you know what, I did you wrong. And I've carried that with me. And I should have been the one to call you. And we reconciled. And now if we see each other, we're in a good relationship. But I could have carried that bitterness all my life. And I would guess that there's some folks in this room right now that when I tell that story, somebody's face pops in your mainframe. Somebody's face pops in your mind and you think, yeah, but not them. I can't forget them. I gave them the greatest level of trust. I reached out to them. I was vulnerable with them, and they crushed me. Here's what I'd say to you. Bitterness isn't going to hurt anybody but yourself. And you may go to that person, and you may not get the answer you want, but if you can go and you can release it, and you can forgive, and you can move on, you will be the one that's set free. I don't know if Eudoia and Syntyche ever got things. I don't know, maybe they made fun of each other's names. I don't know. But I don't know if they ever got reconciled. But I know this. I'm thankful that the Word of God is true and that the Holy Spirit brings conviction, because I can honestly say there's nobody that pops in my brain right now when I think of a broken relationship and bitterness. Not a one. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. It just means I've gone to this perfect Word of God and allowed it to apply to my life, and it has shaped my relationships. So I would encourage you to operate towards getting better and not bitter. Well, the third thing is in your circumstances, you can choose pity parties or joyful prayer. If I hadn't stepped on your toes so far, here it comes, right? All right, pity parties or joyful prayer. Paul says to them, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what we want, the peace of God? Peace, no matter what circumstance we're going through, to have peace. Isn't that what we desire? I know it is what I desire. And he gives us a recipe here. Instead of when times get tough, having your pity party, go to him in prayer. And even joyful prayer. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll tell you, if you can start your prayers by praising God for who he is and remembering all the miracles he's done in your life in the past and praising him for the blessings he's given you, then the problems do begin to shrink. But sometimes we go through those times in life where it feels like everything is coming against us. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it feels like the job, the family, the day-to-day grind is just squishing you and crushing you to where you just can't take it anymore. And sometimes you try to figure out, what do you do? And pity party is the first place that we want to go. Woe is me. For me, as I was preaching this, it was kind of God's humor. You got to understand, preachers, we're real people too. And so sometimes when we preach, it's like, oh God, can I skip that one? You know, and this was the one for me that the Lord really just convicted me on, because I started preparing this message a couple weeks ago, and as you know, I hadn't preached for 3 weeks, and it wasn't for any reason except that in the summer we try to, especially in the summer, we try to get other guys chances to preach, and yet it was a good thing for me not to preach, because I was a little bit mad at the Lord. Started about 2 months ago when my good friend Jeff Davidson passed away, and I was mad. I mean, I told y'all that when I was preaching in that town. I still disagree with God on his decision. I know he's right. Don't get me wrong. I just wish he chose differently, because I love Jeff, and I'd like him to stick around here. And he was a great friend, and it hurts for him to be gone. Okay, so it started there, and then we went through a tough situation at church, and our elders had to really wrestle through some things for a couple of weeks, and it was difficult. And then got some bad news on the home front there, and it was all kind of coming in at once. And then financially, I had two vehicles in the shop at the same time, and so that was a real pain in the wazoo. And then the winds came, and we had 7 trees fall in the big windstorm that we had, and it's like, oh, we got to clean that up. And then I backed my favorite car into a pole and bent my bumper, which isn't that big a deal, except I like the car. And, you know, it's just one of those things, all this starts coming in. And then Refuge Church that we started and we were so proud of, and it was started so strong, and it just got to the point where it wasn't sustainable, and we were really broken about that. But we made the decision to close it for lack of participation, for lack of a better way of putting it. And that was a real sad day when we all sat around and decided that's the step we had to take. And then... 2 weeks ago, we had to make the decision to close CCA and Cooperville Christian Academy that was meeting here. And man, just so many, just looking in the eyes of the parents that had their kids enrolled and saying it's just not sustainable. And man, that was heartbreaking. And I was just feeling really in the dumps. I was just feeling like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not the guy for the job. Maybe this just isn't working out. I don't know. I was pretty down in the dumps, and we got one of our vehicles running again after 2.5 months, and I was so excited, only to come home and find out it wasn't running again, and I lost it. Melissa and I were on the porch, and I was like, are you kidding me? And my first thing was kill the van. You know, just kill the van. It is the enemy. And literally, in a moment of just lack of brain and frustration, I reared back and threw what I had in my hand at the van. And as I'm throwing it, I'm going, oh no, that's my iPhone. Couldn't have been a baseball. It was just like, in my moment of anger, I totally bypassed my brain and my financial wisdom. And my iPhone just went sailing, and the cover just splattered. And then it's my own stupidity that's causing me this pain, right? And my wife reaches over, she gently touches my arm, she says, can I pray for you? And I said, no. I don't want prayer. I want to be angry. And I stomp back to the bedroom. And then I'm just like, really, Steve, you are an idiot. You just lost your cool. You just demonstrated for your children how not to behave under pressure. Fortunately, my wife loves me. And she came back and she said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm not happy." She knew that. And she said, "Can I pray for you now?" I said, "Yeah." And, you know, let me just say, sometimes in your life, you may not be able to even pray for yourself because you're just not in a good spot. And I just want to encourage you, ask others to pray for you. And, you know, my wife, as she prayed for me, for lack of better terms, it was like the Lord just kind of reconnected me to Him. It was like, yeah, I know the Lord's good. I know this is just a season. I know this is just a bad day. I know that God is faithful. I know that I'm just living in a pity party and I'm making it worse for myself because I'm just wallowing in it. I know that. But sometimes we just need someone to come alongside and stand in the gap. And as brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me just encourage you. When you see someone struggling, just ask them if you can pray for them. Whether you're in the lobby out here, somebody shares, whether you're in the department store, Walmart, Save a Lot, Kroger, wherever you're at, if someone shares with you they're struggling, what if you just stop right there and just pray with them? Well, I have to say that the Lord encouraged me on that, and He did a couple more things to encourage me, and it was good. I was glad I wasn't preaching during that season because, you know, the sermon of just give up and quit would not have been a good one to preach. And so I was glad for His timing, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that we have prayer and that we have that avenue to go with Him. And God is big. If you go back and you read the Psalms, God is not afraid of your pain. There are psalm after psalm after psalm in the Bible where David cries out and says, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? My enemies are all around me. Life stinks right now, and I don't feel you. And yet God said David was a man after His own heart. I mean, think about how secure God is in His godhood, right? He could have said, I'm not putting those verses in the Bible. Are you kidding me? Showing that man was angry at me and I didn't squash him like a bug. But God put those passages in there, I believe, because He understands He made us. And He knows there's sometimes that we get beat down and we have bad weeks and bad months and bad years. And we want to have that pity party and we keep throwing worse things and we keep absorbing it. And God is still faithful. And He wants to walk with us through that. And don't expect Him to do everything the way you want it to be done. He's God, you're not, I'm not. But God is faithful. I want to invite you, if you would, to bow your head with me. In this room today, I'm confident that there's some situations in your life that you're battling with, whether you're walking in faith or fear. Maybe you've had a job loss recently. Maybe you've been in a broken relationship. And maybe you've not passed a test or a class or whatever it may be, maybe the bills are piling up on you. And for you, what I want to say to you is walk in faith, not fear. Call out to God, pray, and ask Him to walk with you through the difficult times, and He will walk with you. That is His promise. For others, when I talked about better or bitter, somebody's picture popped up in your mind. And maybe you've done everything you can to reconcile that relationship. And if so, then you need to be set free from that. But maybe you haven't. And maybe it's time. It's time to go and do your part. And work towards reconciling that relationship. Or maybe you're here right now and you're in the midst of a pity party. To which I congratulate you that you came today, because oftentimes we're in a pity party. We don't want to come to church. We want to isolate ourselves. And that's what the devil does. He tries to isolate ourselves so that others can't speak encouragement and truth and hope into our lives. But if you're in the midst of that, I just want to encourage you. Call out to someone to pray for you. Pray yourself. Call out to God. He's big enough to handle it. And then for some of you in here, you have yet to give your life over to Jesus Christ. And so you don't have that peace that he's talking about. Peace doesn't mean the storms don't come. The storms came my way, but peace means, okay, the storms are still there, but I'm going to trust in God, and I'm going to walk in faith, not fear. That's what that peace comes from. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then it's not there. That peace isn't there. And if you're trying to make it on your own, I don't know how you do it. It's just too hard. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, but you'd want to, then I want to invite you to pray and talk to God right now and tell him that you want that relationship. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and if God is speaking to your heart saying today is your day to become a follower of Jesus, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me now. Dear God, today I give you my life. Today I want you to be my King and my Savior. Please forgive me for my sins and my past. Today I want to start a journey with you. Help me, God, to get better and not bitter. I pray this in Jesus, my Savior's name. Amen.